Thank you. Eddie, alcoholic. My sobriety date is August 3rd, 2011. Very nervous right now. Anyways, you know, I was born and raised Lakeside. I got two brothers, two sisters, five of us in the family. You know, I grew up awesome family, you know, loving parents, you know. Got into high school, starts experimenting with alcohol, you know, and with the alcohol out of high school, I end up getting a DUI. After the DUI, I had to do AA meetings. I walked into my first AA meeting in 1991, and I just went, what the hell am I doing here? What is this place? I mean, I had no, just didn't want to be there. Didn't have concept about AA, didn't want to know about AA. I didn't have a problem. Moved on from there. I ended up wrecking my first job, ended up wrecking a company truck Sunday morning. Drinking, end up wrecking the truck, walking away from the truck, leaving the truck, I passed out, my brothers, and called my boss, told him I wrecked the truck. I got away with that, you know, and from then on I ended up getting mixed up in some other kind of, basically drugs, methamphetamine. I got started mixed up into that, and from then on it was a good 10 years of, you know, just nothing but chaos. You know, I got a girlfriend, we had two kids, working for her dad with this company, just putting the family, everybody through hell, you know. As a father, I couldn't say I was a father then, you know, I wouldn't, you know, the biggest thing for me was when there were, my oldest was three, four at the time, no, five, my youngest was three. All I cared about was drinking and getting that fix. And I'll never forget that day I sat there in the garage, and they're both my daughters standing out on the porch, and they're like, Daddy, would you come into the house? And I yelled at them, no, I'm busy. And I went back in the garage and just wanted to get high and get drunk. That's all I cared about. That's it. Nothing else. You know, from then on, it just got worse. We'd go on vacations. I would weasel my way out of going on vacation. I'd rather stay in my garage and just get drunk and do whatever, you know. That's all I cared about. I didn't want to be around the family. I didn't want to be around my kids. I didn't want to be around anybody but myself. And that's the way it was for 13, 14 years. You know, I would leave my wife or my girlfriend at the time. I'd leave her and the kids for 17, 20, 50 days at a time. I'd just take off on a run. They would have no idea where I'm at, what I'm doing. Just out of control. You know, in 05, I caught my first little jail case. It's kind of funny, I'm going to tell you guys. My addiction, you know, I didn't have a vehicle, had nothing. I'm out in Alpine, and I'm like, how am I going to get down to my Connect's house? And my neighbor's got a skip loader. So, me thinking, I'm going to drive that to El Cajon. 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, I got there halfway, 4 o'clock in the morning, and a highway patrol pulls me over and goes, what are you doing? I'm going to work. He's all, get off the machine. That was my first case, possession of stolen property. That was in 04, 05. Then it moved on to, you know, it got worse and worse and worse. I end up doing a little six-month turnaround with that. Got out, went to a place called the San Diego Freedom Ranch. Got up there. I got to drive a tractor up there one other time, too. We'll get to that. Good old George is here, so I got to talk about that. I get to the Freedom Ranch, kept my bags packed for 2 weeks because I did not want to be there. I was like, I'm not that bad. I don't, you know, this isn't for me. I'm not that bad. You know, going through the Freedom Ranch, I was there for about 7 months. You know, I was up there. George had me on a tractor. Trimming trees had him in the bucket. You know, George ended up flying out of the bucket from the up in the air, dropping, breaking some ribs, you know. I felt bad. God bless you, George. Became volunteer staff up there, you know. But when I left there, you guys, you know, I didn't never open that book, never didn't care about that. I was just there, you know. My daughters, because during that time, when in 04, 05, 06, I didn't have nothing to do with my kids. I got my daughters back in my life when I was at the ranch. I left the ranch. I end up relapsing probably within a year. You know, I never got these tools how to stay sober. I didn't care. I relapsed, left my kids again for another 3.5 years. So altogether 6-7 years I have not been a father to my daughters. Just craziness, you know. This disease is absolutely just mind-boggles me. So I end up, after 3 years, never talked to my daughters, never saw them again. I saw them one time during that 3 years. I went to the swap meet to sell some stuff because I needed money to get high or drunk. I see my daughter and both my daughters and their nephews, and they saw me, and they turned and went shooting down a different row. They didn't want to be around me. You know, I didn't care, did not care. You know, I'm going to back up a little bit about my dad passed away. He ended up committing suicide. Me and my two brothers found him, you know, and the whole time that he's in the other room before the medics and everybody got there, all I was thinking about is getting drunk and getting high. I did not care that my dad just committed suicide. Didn't want nothing to do with it, didn't care. He made me mad, screw him. This is what's going to be. I want to get loaded. Well, a couple years goes by. I end up finally breaking down after I was clean. Got that year clean in 06. Relapsed, back going forward again. You know, I went to the ranch again here in 011. You know, it's a four-month program. I stayed for 9.5 months. During that 9.5 months, you know, from the wreckage of my past, the month I got there, the first 3 weeks there, my daughter came up, my youngest. And she's like, first thing she says to me, Daddy, if you ever use drugs and alcohol again, I can never, ever see you again or talk to you. That sunk in. My oldest didn't want nothing to do with me at the time. So I get my first pay job at the ranch after 3 months up there. I go out on a pay job. They call me back. I'm like, what's going on? I make some money. Now they're pulling me back to the ranch. Two detectives showed up there. And they're like, well, you know, we have a problem here. You were involved in some activities that we know for a fact that you were involved in. You know, and because of this program, first thing came out, I said, yes, I did it. I did it. Absolutely. They're okay, we're not going to take you to jail right now. We're going to see what happens. The district attorney's going to pick this case up or not. 9 months goes by. The day I leave the ranch, I go home. On a Friday, Monday morning, operations manager calls me and says, hey, the sheriffs are up here looking. We've got a felony warrant. Okay. Instead of taking off running, I end up my sponsor and me got in his truck, and we drove straight to the Santee Sheriff, and I turned myself in. And then it was another 6 months until a month ago I've been fighting this case. And what happened is I was looking at a year in jail. I go to my sentencing. My attorney's not there. My buddy George, my sponsor's there. The victims walk in, and they're just glaring at us. They're very upset that what I did to them. They're not too happy. But my attorney's not there, so they postpone it till September 11th. So I go back a month later, September 11th. We get there. I get there an hour early. And guess who shows up? The two victims an hour early. And the victims walk up to me and go, Eddie, would you like to talk about this? I would love to. For 45 minutes, I sat there and talked to these victims and told them my story, where I've been in the Freedom Ranch. I got clean time. I'm trying to change my life. I just gave them 45 minutes of my life. And then about that time, my attorney walks up and says, you're not supposed to be talking to them. Sorry. We end up going into the courtroom. The judge is not happy with me. He wants to give me a county year or more. He wants me to do some time. Well, then he calls the victims up to have, because they want, before they wanted, they're pushing the issue, they wanted me to do some time. The victim gets up there and goes, "You know, Your Honor, we got a chance to talk to Mr. Berrigan for 45 minutes. And he seems like a guy, a nice guy. He's trying to change his life and do the right thing. We're not going to push this issue anymore. We're not pressing charges. We're going to let it be." I end up, said a year, I end up getting 25 days public work service and a fine. After that, you go into this next room, talk to the court lady to get your paperwork. An hour goes by. I walk out of there. The two victims are still standing there waiting for me. He walks up to me and goes, "Here, Eddie," hands me his business card and goes, "If you need any help with anything, call me. I'm there for you." And gave me a hug. I said, "Good luck." If that ain't God in my life today, I don't know what is, you know. Because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm blessed to be here today. You know, this is, I have both my daughters back in my life today. That's, you know, my oldest, she's 17 now, and she's, you know, she's still kind of standoffish, but she's there. I talk to her, I go to dinner with her, everything. You know, that's all I got tonight, guys. Thank you very much. God bless you all.